And I remember when I was a young preacher, an older preacher said something I never forgot. And I quoted it, and he said, "Happiness is in the haps, but joy is in Jesus." And I remember another preacher was a pastor of a church that had the world's largest Sunday school, and he had a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that taught about the real meaning of Christmas. And he was visiting in the hospital. He was visiting a lady, I'll call her Mrs. Johnson, not sure of the name, but he visited this lady in the hospital, and she was actually terminal. She was dying, and he was visiting with her in the church, and she started to cough when they were visiting. She like that, and red blood came out of her, and she was catching it in a white kerchief. And he said to her, he said, "Mrs. Johnson, is that blood?" And she said, "Pastor, it sure ain't tomato juice." And I never forgot it. He said, "My people have more fun dying than you people do living. My people have more fun dying than you people do living." And, you know, we have a lot of fun around here. Saturday morning, our real committed workers are there for prayer, for bus captain and bus worker meeting, for Sunday school teacher. And we cut up and we have a lot of fun together. And we have a good time and we laugh. You know, last night I went to a Christmas play, and my granddaughter was actually in the play. It was called Charlie Brown's Christmas. And we were there, you know, up in Clark Summit for this play, and Mrs. Bajeski was there, and it was real down. You know, Charlie Brown was all discouraged. He was all down, and he got this Christmas tree that looked like it needed a B-12 shot. You know, it was a horrible Christmas tree. And the whole thing was a downer. And I really haven't watched Charlie Brown's Christmas, but I was like watching that, and I was thinking, this is down. It's a downer. And my granddaughter was up there, and I'm like, everything was down. And then all of a sudden, they started reading what we just read this morning, the Christmas story. And it was from the King James Bible, and it was so good to hear that. And right away, I thought, that's why it was down. They took Christ out of Christmas. And you take Christ out of Christmas, and you're going to be miserable, and you're not going to have a good time. And that was what changed in that play. And so what a difference it was. Then they began to sing Joy to the World and these Christmas carols. And so I decided this morning, I believe the Lord led me. I shouldn't say I decided. I believe the Lord led me to speak a Christmas message, and I want to lift one verse from those verses in Luke 2 that we read about the Christmas story. I'll read that verse. It's in verse number 10. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And the name of my message this morning is Joy to the World. Joy to the World. And I just want to say two things about that this morning, because you want to open your Christmas presents, don't you? But I want to say two things about that this morning, only two. Number one, joy to the world because of why the Lord has come. Look what it says in verse 11. "For," that means because, "unto you is born this day..." The angel said, it may have been Michael, "for," that is because, "unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, I went there a few years ago to Bethlehem. It's just a little town. I went there. I went to the place where Jesus was born. And there was a Palestinian pastor there. I believe his name was Jonathan. And he was telling us about that place and how they wrapped up the little lambs in swaddling clothes, because they didn't want them to get blemished, because they were going to be offered about 10 miles to the north in the temple at Jerusalem for the sins of the people. And I remember that. And I couldn't help but thinking about the fact that joy, the reason why you can have joy, the reason why there can be joy in the world, is because the Lord has been born in the city of David. You know, every year our family gets together. My son is coming from California My daughter's here, my mom's here, and whichever family we have, I have another son and his family, five kids and his wife. Every year, we get together at Christmas time, and we have a tradition. We watch a film called It's a Wonderful Life. How many have ever seen that? It's a Wonderful Life. And the thing about that is it's set in a city in New York. I've actually gone up to that city and seen it, recognized the bridge and that place. It's got another name. It was called Bedford Falls, and it's another falls name. I'm not going to tell you because they'll have too many tourists up there. But anyway, it's up there in New York, and that city was a neat little city. And there was a guy named George Bailey that was the head of the building and loan after his father died. And George Bailey got real discouraged because his Uncle Billy lost the money and bad things were happening and he was going to be arrested on Christmas Eve. He had a family at home. He had a lot of problems. And he was just so sad because of all of these things that were happening to him. And he didn't have the money to pay off this debt from the bank, and he thought the thing I'm going to do is just die, because then they'll get life insurance and make it like I drowned off the bridge. So he was ready to jump off the bridge. He did, and you know the story, the angel Clarence. I haven't found Clarence in the Bible, but the angel Clarence, he actually got George Bailey a blessing. He said, I'm going to show you what it would be like if you had never been born. And so George Bailey didn't realize it at the time, but he had never been born. And he got to see the town of Bedford Falls as though he had never been born. And when he went into the town, he found it was a horrible place. He found it wasn't even called Bedford Falls. It was called Potterville. I was waiting for you to say it. I knew it. Potterville. And it was a place, dog eat dog. It had women that were prostitutes and all kind of stuff going on there. It was a mess of a town, and people didn't care for one another. There was no Christmas spirit, let me tell you. It was all dog eat dog, and it was bad. The angel, Clarence, he said to George Bailey, he said, now you know what it was like if you had never been born. Well, if that was true of one man, George Bailey, how much more is it true if the Lord Jesus Christ had never been born? What a terrible thing it would be. And, you know, some people say instead of B.C., they say B.C.E. How many have heard that? B.C.E. instead of B.C.? Well, B.C.E. stands for Before the Common Era. And they can't deal with it that when Jesus was born, our whole calendar was changed. Our whole world was rocked. I mean, a great event took place. And it is not BCE, before the common era. They're just trying to take Christ out of Christmas. They're trying to remove Jesus' birth, and the devil doesn't like it. It is BC. What does BC stand for? Before Christ. Before Christ. Before he came into this world. What a difference he made. What a difference his birth made. Charlie Brown's Christmas is nothing. The Christmas tree is nothing. The gifts are nothing. The celebration and the feast is nothing. It's, you're just all going to die and go to hell. You're going to live in Pottersville. If the Lord had not been born. Now I'm here to tell you this morning, he was born. He came into the world, and he's coming back again. I can tell you Christmas past was good, and Christmas future is going to be better for us, beloved, because he's going to come, and he's going to rule and reign over this world for a wonderful reign of peace and joy and all the rest of it. And, you know, people make Christmas movies They put Santa doing magical things at Christmas. Why? Because people are miserable. People are joyless. They're looking for a faith in something that's outside of the miserable things of this life and something that will lift them, and they're seeking for it. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not something, it's someone. And it is the one, the way, the truth, the life. His name is Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the joy of Christmas. Joy to the world because the Lord has come. What a Savior He is, and we can celebrate that. And, it took a while for Him to come. You know, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. When Adam sinned, he lost the kingdom. Thorns began to grow. The devil took over. Death began to happen. Adam's son, Cain, murdered his other son, Abel. And all the sadness and the death and the sorrow that came into the world. Eve thought she was going to give birth to the one that God promised would relieve the pain and rule over the world and send Satan down into hell and take over the world. But it didn't happen in her lifetime. I mean, Adam lived to be over 900 years. It didn't happen in their lifetime, beloved. In fact, it didn't happen for 4,000 years after the fall. 4,000 years they waited. And then the nation of Israel was the place. And the Savior came from Israel. He came from the tribe of Judah. He was a Jew, a Jewish carpenter. And he came and he was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, my friend. And he died outside of Jerusalem on a cross, on an old rugged cross. Why? So that he could take back the world from Satan. They crowned him with a crown of thorns, and the blood ran down. Why? Because all of the sin and all the sorrow and all the misery that's been in this world, he said, I'll take it upon myself. I'll pay for that sin. Amen. You say, who was this one that was born in Bethlehem? That was God. God, 2,000 years ago, took on a human nature, and he was a baby boy, but he was always God, and he came here to save us because God said, I can't leave it to an angel can't do it. I can't let any man do it. All men are sinners. All men are failures. There was nobody else. There's no other name under heaven that can save us. There's nobody that can help us. There's nobody else that can deliver us, but thank God there is one. And he was born 2,000 years ago, and he completed his mission. So I'm saying joy to the world because the Lord has come. That's my point. He makes the difference. He makes the difference in this world because the true light is shining in this world. If it wasn't for him, this world would be so sad, so miserable, so hopeless. We'd all be without God in the world. We'd be up that creek without a paddle. But thank God he has come. I have a reason to laugh this morning. I have a reason to cut up when we get together on Saturday. That lady, Mrs. Johnson, or whatever her name was, she had a reason to say it's sure not tomato juice, because he took death and he whipped death. He beat death up. He conquered death. He took death right out of the hands of the devil. And he took the power away from the devil. And so, praise God, joy to the world, for because unto you, it says, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm saying that happiness is in what's happening, man or woman, but joy is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes I've seen a young lady and she's all happy and she's smiling, and her friends say to her, why are you so happy? And she says, look at the ring Jimmy gave me, or whoever it was. Look at the ring. She's all happy. Why? She's in a relationship with somebody that loves her, cherishes her, cares for her, and it lifts her. But no matter who that person is, he's a sinner. He'll disappoint her, even if he's a good man and a good husband. And maybe he's good and he'll pass away and leave her for a time as a widow. Before I met my Savior and my best friend, the Lord Jesus, I was empty inside of me. Some of you may be that way this morning. But then I had my grandmother tell me about him, and my faith reached up and took his gift, and I received the gift of eternal life, and now I've got a relationship with a person called Jesus, and he fills up that empty place in my life. He gives me purpose and meaning. He gives me hope for the future. I wonder this morning, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, he is extending his hand to you to receive the gift of eternal life. He's got holes in his hands, but he'll give you a gift of eternal life. Like he gave it to me, he'll give it to you. Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? If not, this morning, he's inviting you. I believe the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is in this house this morning. I believe the greatest gift that God ever gave is not this or this or this, though they may be nice gifts. Thank God for them. But it's a greater gift. It's a gift that will never get broken. It'll be a gift that will last forever. It will be a gift that you will just appreciate more and more as it goes on. And the best is yet to come if you're saved. Because when he came the first time, he died for our sins. But he didn't wear a crown of gold. He wore a crown of thorns. When he's coming again, he's going to have a golden crown. It's going to say King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to rule over the whole world. And this world is going to be wonderful. And if you accept him as your Savior, you'll be his queen. And you'll reign with him in the kingdom that's to come. And I'm looking forward to that day. But have you received him yet? Have you received him? Right now he's not popular. Right now the world has not received him. Just like when he came the first time, the world rejected him and crucified him and mocked him. And I've seen people do that. And yet, you know, when he comes the second time, they're going to bow down to him. Even those that have fought against him, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He was born in Bethlehem. He was laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. But when he comes again, my friend, he's going to reign on his throne in Jerusalem over the whole world. And he's coming again. We're getting closer to that day. Have you received him? If you've not received him, my friend, do it today. In fact, do it right now. Christian, are you Christian? You're born again. Are you lacking the joy of the Lord in your life? Now remember, the Bible says, believer, at this Christmas time, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Joy comes when the Spirit of Jesus is present in your heart and is controlling your life. That's when you get joy. You see, people can get happy if they get money given to them or some nice gift that they get. They feel happy. I asked the kids when I preached in chapel this week, I said, what's your favorite holiday? Everyone said, Christmas. And I said, what do you want for Christmas? They all knew what they wanted for Christmas. They were giving me all what they wanted. I said, you know why you like Christmas so much? Because we all love ourselves. We all love ourselves. But Jesus loves the world. And he came into the world to give us something wonderful. And he came to give you joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus in your life. Joy. It's such a wonderful thing to have joy. I remember going on a trip with a preacher that was a hero of mine. He had the world's largest Sunday school. And he said to me, don't ever lose that laugh. Don't ever lose that laugh. I like that. I remember when I was in college, they used to record my laugh. They would literally record my laugh because it was a nice laugh. Some people can make people laugh. Some people laugh. I have no humor, but I laugh. I laugh at their jokes. I laugh at his jokes. But I'm telling you, joy is what the Lord gives you, Christian, when you are controlled by His Spirit. So stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. If you grieve the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave you, living in you, you're going to be sad even if you're a Christian, and you're going to be miserable. And what is grieving the Holy Spirit? You make Him sad by sin in your life that you don't repent of, that you don't confess, that you don't forsake. That makes Him sad, you see, when that thing is in your life. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit, and then stop quenching the Holy Spirit. What's quenching the Holy Spirit? You throw cold water when the preacher's preaching. Instead of saying amen with your lips and with your life, you just kind of, I don't know if I like that. And you just don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit when He tells you to pray, when He tells you to let others know about the Lord, when He tells you to come to church on Wednesday night prayer meeting. You don't do it. You're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says, don't do that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is our strength. The Bible says, joy to the world. Why? Because the Lord has come and He's given us His Spirit once you accept Him as your Savior. You know, if I got into this pulpit and I started preaching like this, this is really good. I really enjoy this Bible, and I'm going to preach to you from this Bible. If I did that, you'd say, that is a disgrace. That pastor, he's been drinking. He's drunk. Well, what does the Bible say in Ephesians 5:18? I'm talking to believers now, born-again people. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Right. I mentioned the other Wednesday night, I had a guy named Dennis. He used to be in this church. He's passed away now. But Dennis used to be in the church, and he got saved. But he said to me, before I got saved, he said, Pastor, all I would do Thanksgiving, I would start drinking. And I would drink through Christmas, and I would drink right up through New Year's, and right at the end of New Year's, that's when I would be sober enough to know what was going on. He said, I didn't even know what was going on from Thanksgiving till New Year's. How sad is that? How sad is it to be a drunk?
Right.
I'm so thankful I don't have to be drunk with wine. I can be under the influence of the Spirit of Jesus. Right. And He helps me do things I wouldn't do if I was sober without Him. Just like people, when they're drunk, they do bad things, excessive things. I can do things that are like Jesus when I'm... It affects my personality. It affects my relationship with my wife. It affects my relationship with my family. It affects my relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm talking about be filled with the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Joy to the world, the angel said. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And today, some Christians are joyless because you're not surrendering your life to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. But joy to the world because the Lord has come. Notice Galatians 5:22, it says joy follows love. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, then joy, then peace. Why is that? Well, because people are not joyless when they want to give. I'm sorry. I'm doing this saying when they want to give. When they want to what? Receive all the time. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. That doesn't make you joyful. That makes you joyless. Joy is J-O-Y. J stands for what? Jesus. Like the candy cane. Jesus. Then O is others. And then the Y is then you. Put Jesus first, and he will lead you to love others, and you've got to surrender to the Lord. Teenagers, do you want to have joy, or do you want to just look like a sad teenager, a selfish teenager? No, when I got saved at 17, he changed my countenance. He changed my life. My father said, your countenance was very bad before you got saved. After I got saved, people could see there was a difference in my life. Did your face find out that you're born again, Christian? Do you have the joy of the Lord radiating? I'm just saying that that is a wonderful thing to have joy. You know, this Christmas, we get toys given to us, brand new toys. And the agency that helps us, that gets these toys, when we went to get the toys, they said, oh, we didn't get that many, and we were shorted, what was it, like 400 or something like that, over 400 toys. And I said, whoa, how are we going to deal with this? This was just before Christmas. I called the North Pole, they were busy. So what did I do? Prayed. And some people that were helping, they started to give some money of their own money so we could buy nice presents. And we had one young lady, she'd been backsliding and she came back to the church. She said, I'll give $50 toward that. And then she changed it. She said, oh, I see we need more. I'll give $100. And others gave. You know what? It's more blessed to what? Give than receive. I'm talking about love. Joy comes after love. And what a blessing it is to have the joy of the Lord. Yeah, I didn't feel joyful when I heard we didn't have the presence. But God was saying to me, Pastor, I'm giving you an opportunity to give. And you got to give a little bit. Give it till it hurts. And then you really can be joyous. I'm saying this morning, my message is joy to the world. Number one, because the Lord has come. Number two, and lastly, joy to the world because the Lord removes your fears. Look what Luke wrote. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. That means very, very afraid. They were so afraid it made them sore. I mean, they were scared. Why were they scared? Because it says the glory of the Lord, not just the angels in the sky, but the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Who were them? Shepherds. They were in the fields there around the month of September. They were out there in the fields, and that glory of the Lord. 9 months earlier, he had been conceived in the womb of his mother around December 25th. And now the glory of the Lord appeared, and the shepherds were very afraid. Let me tell you, if you saw the glory of the Lord, you would be afraid. Some people, they don't know enough to be afraid. They're marching toward death. Oh, I'm not afraid. I had my grandmother, my grandmother, my wife's grandmother. She believed in spiritism and everything that was contrary to the Bible. But she was a nice person and smiley. And she told me, oh, I'm not afraid. Don't talk to me about sin and death and going to hell. I don't even think about that stuff. And she was in her 80s and going strong. But finally, like my grandmother said, someday some little bug will get you. Then you got to die. And after you die, you may not be afraid at all and think you're going to go to heaven, but Jesus said, no, the broad road leads to hell. Many people go that way. Narrow is the way. And there's a literal lake of fire. It's horrible. People are screaming, and you're going to be there, and you're there forever. In other words, the song Amazing Grace goes this way. Amazing grace, and then it goes, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Have you ever been afraid of death? I have. And it says here that God's glory made them afraid. You see, to be saved and to go to heaven, it's a free gift of God. It is God's grace. Do you know what grace means? Grace means that God gives you something that you don't deserve. That's not the message of the world. The world said if you're on Santa's naughty list, you're not getting any present. If you're on his nice list, you're going to get a present, right? Well, that may happen. One time my mother sent me snowman poo. It was a little... That may happen with people. But not with Jesus. When Jesus saved me, I was at the worst point in my life. I was a good guy, captain of the safety, good in school. But when I got saved, I was 17, and I was doing things that I shouldn't be doing. And I was getting in fights in school and getting in trouble and sleeping in church. I was not right with God. But the Lord loved me. He gave me a gift I didn't deserve because he didn't love me because I was nice. He didn't love me because I was on the nice list. I was on the naughty list. But the Bible says Christ came into the world to save naughty people, right. Not nice people. Right. The man that wrote the Bible was involved in murder. One of the chief writers of the Old Testament murdered somebody, but he got saved. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. I remember when I was reading the Bible, when I was 17, the glory of the Lord showed me that I was a sinner, and not only was I a sinner, when I stood before God, he as the judge would send me into hell because I was guilty of sin. He'll do it to you too. He doesn't respect if you got this or that or the other thing. And God began to teach me to be afraid of hell. And I heard the words of Jesus and I was afraid. Even with the words of Jesus. Because Jesus talked about hell. And the grace of God taught me to fear. You know, there was a great preacher by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. How many have heard of Spurgeon? He was a great preacher. And he said that a guy saw a guy drowning in the lake and he dove into the water to save him. But instead of going up to him and coming up behind him and getting him by his arm and swimming in, he kept swimming around him. And the guy went down and he came back up and he went down and he came back up and then he went down. It didn't look like he was coming up. It was like over. Finally, he grabbed him and he pulled him in. And saved his life, barely. And they said to the guy, why did you take so long? He said, if I would have come up to save him when he was going up and down, he would have pulled me down with him. Because he was too strong. When I saved him, he had no strength left in him. Some of you are too strong. You think you can help God. You can help. No, you can't. You need to fear that you can't save yourself. And you're helpless. And then the Lord will save you. It says in the Bible, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I hope this morning in this church service, you don't just see Christmas presents, you just don't see the decorations, you just don't see the people dressed up in nice clothes. I hope this morning you see God and the glory of God, like these shepherds did. And that you get afraid if you're not ready to meet God. You know, the Apostle Peter was just a fisherman. He had done a lot of sins in his life. He cursed, we know that. And he was out in the fishing boat with Jesus. And he said, "Lord, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything." The Lord said, "That's all right." He said, "Throw down your nets anyway." And Peter just threw down one net. He didn't believe anything would come of it. And Jesus did a miracle, and that net was just filled with so many fish, the boat was ready to sink. Peter saw the glory of Jesus. And he realized, wow, I'm not dealing with an ordinary man here. I'm dealing with somebody that's real. I thank God my Savior's real. He's not just a fake person. He's a real person. He does wonderful things. But when I saw him the first time, before I got to know him, I understand why Peter said this. When that miracle happened, he said to Jesus, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." You feel like, "Oh, I can't get around him. I can't get around. This thing is real. I'm afraid when I go to church. I may feel judged when I go to church." Listen, you're judged because God wants to show you that you need to get saved. You can't save yourself. You're on your way to hell. You need to be saved. And that's why the Lord came. Not only to give you joy, but listen, to remove your fear of death. To remove your fear of death. You say, "Well, what does the Bible say?" It says, "The angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Why? For unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Do you realize you've sinned? You deserve to go to hell. And you realize you can't save yourself. And you want to be saved. Jesus will save you. Did you hear me? He'll give you that greatest gift that he gave me. I told the kids when I preached in chapel this last Friday, I said one Christmas I went to my grandma's house. And I was a young kid, and you know, I didn't have a bedroom to sleep in, so I slept in the living room. I slept on the couch. And my grandma was so nice. Her house was all fixed up for Christmas. She had candy in every dish. She was so nice. I love this grandma. It was my mom's mom. She's an awesome lady. I was sleeping there. I woke up in the morning, and there's presents all over the living room, all around the Christmas tree. I thought, "Oh my, this is heaven. This is great." And back then, it was way back in the day, they had a Mr. Potato Head. He's sitting there and all these guys, you know. And I'm like, "I got all these gifts. Where is that Mr. Potato Head?" The only gift I still have that I remember is Smokey the Bear. And that was an earlier Christmas. And he's kind of got his ear off and everything like that. But he's still at my house, Smokey the Bear. I might have taken him. Did I take him? I don't know. But he was my guy, Smokey the Bear. But what I'm saying to you is every gift that you get, it's going to break. It's going to get old. It's not going to really last. But when I got the gift of living forever, I got that when I was 17. I'm now just a little older than that. And it's still lasting. And it gives me joy. And it takes away fear of dying, because the Bible says that they were sore afraid. These shepherds were afraid. But it says in the Bible this word. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." I knew what it was like to be afraid to die. I used to get sick. I was a hypochondriac. I was afraid I was going to die. I'm so glad now that Jesus took that fear, and I don't have to be afraid of dying. I know if I'm absent from the body, I'm going to be with the Lord. You say, "How do you know that?" The Word of God. Faith in the Word of God. That's how you can be 100% sure you're going to heaven. It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And it says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." You know, in a little bit, you're going to get a Christmas gift. Some of you can't wait. "Oh man, I want to get that gift." But you know what? Here's a gift right here. And let's say I give it to a boy because this is a boy's gift. He's about 5 years old, 4 years old, and I'm going to give this boy this gift. What does he have to do for this gift? Does he have to reach in his pocket and take out money and give it to me?
No.
No? That wouldn't be a gift, would it? He'd be buying it, earning it. No. Oh, does he have to work for me? I say, oh, you know, the bathroom needs some cleaning up. Would you clean up in the bathroom and there's a spray there? No, he doesn't have to do that. It's a gift. So what does he do? I'll show you what he does. See, he just reaches up his empty hands of faith and receives the gift. That's how you get saved. Jesus did all the work. He paid for the gift. He made it all. And he now offers it to you. You don't have to work for it. And you just receive it by faith. And, you know, I was at a house just yesterday. And there were some two sisters there and there was a brother. And they all, when I gave the good news to receive the gift, they all received the gift. And I remember looking at one of the sisters when I was talking about it. She was just so happy because she believed it, that this is a free gift. See, some aren't happy because they think, no, it's not. It's too good to be true. I have to earn it. I have to work for it. I have to do something. It can't be what the pastor said. If that were the way it was, I could just say I'm going to sin and then God's going to forgive all my sin. Yeah, he will. And he'll come into your life and be your Lord and change your life. And if you're already a Christian, where is the joy? Joy to the world, because the Lord has come into the world. And he removes our fears. Even as Christians, we don't have to fear death, but we have other fears. He removes those fears when you trust him and obey him. I hope today that you'll receive that greatest gift and benefit from that greatest gift. Let's bow for prayer this morning. We've been saying joy to the world. The Lord has come. And what a